Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
There are moments, and it feels like we've been having a lot of them recently, when people step back in dismay and say, "This is not who we are." And then they ask, how did we get here? How can we change course? Well, those questions are ringing through the halls of Catholic Memorial High School today in the wake of an ugly incident at a basketball game last week. Catholic Memorial, an all-boys school in West Roxbury, was squaring off against Newton North High School. Cheering sections engaged in normal high school trash talking, but then Newton North students shouted, "Where are your girls?" And Catholic Memorial responded with, "You killed Jesus." Here's Newton North senior Jonah Pemstein and his father, David, who were at the game.
It started off pretty innocuously. We were chanting, "Here we go, Tigers," or something. And then it got a little more heated. And then eventually the "You killed Jesus" chant started.
We heard the "You killed Jesus" chant. And I think there was a moment where everyone in our area just kind of paused in disbelief. And we kind of turned around and said, did they just say that?
Well, as soon as the chants began, Catholic Memorial administrators moved to stop it. The students were reprimanded and made to apologize to the principal of Newton North. Newton Superintendent David Fleischman contacted the Anti-Defamation League about the incident, and the ADL has issued a statement saying, "We hope that this incident will turn into a teachable moment for all those involved. ADL is grateful for the quick intervention by both Newton North High School and Catholic Memorial officials." And today, Catholic Memorial administrators planned a series of student assemblies, and they're asking students not to attend tonight's state semifinal game at TD Garden. Now, all of this brings us back to those three ideas we began with. This is not who we are. How did we get here? And how can we change course? Well, Susanna Heschel has a unique perspective on all of this. She's a professor of Jewish studies at Dartmouth College and author of The Aryan Jesus, Christian Theologians and the Bible in Nazi Germany. She's also a parent of two Newton North students. We spoke with her earlier today.
I think, first of all, as a parent of two daughters at Newton North High School, I'm concerned that the school system in America in general is not paying enough attention to the development of human beings. Kids these days are overloaded with homework. My kids come home with 4 or 5 hours of homework every day. All weekend is spent doing homework. Where is the nurturance of the souls, of the humanity of these kids? So many of their assignments may be quite useful. It's important. I want my kids to study, of course. What could be more important? But on the other hand, their souls, their minds, their gentleness, their humanity has to be attended to. And there's hardly any time for that.
Well, you know, that makes me wonder that, you know, some people might say, well, everyone has said that, you know, what was said at the game this weekend was very ugly and unacceptable. But where should accountability be held then? It should start with the students for sure, but they're connected to a larger community.
Yes, those students come in and speak the words that they hear at home. They also speak the atmosphere of the home, the tolerance or the intolerance that they experience from their parents. That's what they bring. So, for example, when the school wants to address these issues, the parents have to be involved. The parents, the whole community. All right, let's look at what was said, shall we? So what does it mean to say, "You killed Jesus"? On the one hand, of course, the statement is absurd. These children did not kill Jesus. But more than that, we are now celebrating the 50th anniversary of Nostra Aetate, a declaration by the Vatican issued by Pope Paul VI that has become Catholic doctrine. And in fact, it's been reaffirmed. Pope John Paul II reaffirmed it. He said, "It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's to be observed." Now, what did Nostra Aetate say? It said the Jews are not to be held responsible for the death of Jesus. Cardinal Bea, the theologian who was in charge of this document, a German theologian, very conservative Catholic, very great Catholic theologian, also insisted, of course, you cannot say that the Jews are responsible. So one question would be, why is this Catholic teaching not being conveyed to the students? or apparently not to their parents. Maybe it's not coming from the parents' priests. Something needs to be done. This isn't just a matter of the Anti-Defamation League, which I know has been called in for this. It's a matter of Catholics adhering to Catholic doctrine. Mm-hmm. It is absurd to say to Jews, you killed Jesus. It's just as absurd and such as a violation of Catholic teaching as if a Catholic were to say, I don't believe in God. It's impossible.
You know, to me, it also speaks to the perniciousness through generations of hateful ideologies, to be perfectly honest, because it sounds as if what you're saying, like, in part, unless there's active teaching, you're not going to overturn what has been said before, even if it was only said actively, you know, a generation or two in the past.
Yes, clearly the students were invoking a history that's associated with persecution and even murder of Jews. So it's a frightful thing to say. I think it's also clear that the catechism is not getting in. Now, certainly if the church heard Catholic children at a Catholic school saying something that, oh, Jesus is not the Son of God, they would be appalled. They would say that the catechism isn't being taught properly. Well, this is another example. So this is a matter of Catholic responsibility, teaching its own Catholic teachings, its own doctrine.
Given what you said, I just want to read a brief part of a statement from Catholic Memorial today. They say they're holding a series of assemblies today and an open forum for students to voice their concerns and ask questions. And President Peter Folan said, we will also strengthen and enhance our curriculum to better educate our students on the subjects of intolerance and bigotry, and that these next steps will be made with great deliberation, thought, and input from the Jewish community and the Archdiocese of Boston. Is that
My problem is that it's not just about intolerance and bigotry. It's about Catholic teaching. And I think that invoking Catholic doctrine and the authority of the Vatican would be much more impressive to the students. You can't violate, if you're going to a Catholic school, speaking in the name of Catholic of the Catholic Church, you don't violate Catholic teaching. So that's the important thing. This is not simply pandering to Jewish interests or saying we're against intolerance. Who isn't against intolerance? Nobody's going to get up and say, I want to be intolerant. But of course, there's the question of the larger mood in this country right now. Mm-hmm. And well, that too is being reflected.
Well, before we get to that, because it absolutely is part of this conversation, I did want to ask you to tell us a little bit more about the 50th anniversary, as you said, about a change in the Vatican's doctrine here. Because if I may, your father, Abraham Heschel, actually was one of the people who worked with the Vatican to get that, make that change.
Indeed. My father was the Jewish representative that helped formulate Nostra Aetate. My father is Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel. He was a prominent Jewish theologian. And when I was growing up, this was a major topic of discussion at my parents' dinner table. So I heard about it a great deal. My father felt very deeply concerned that the Catholic Church issue a statement, first condemning antisemitism, and second, saying the Jews are not responsible for the death of Jesus, and third, really work hard to foster better Jewish-Christian relations, which the church has done, in fact. So I do think that the church is on the right path and has been. And Nostra Aetate is a dramatic and wonderful, wonderful statement. It was probably the most important Christian statement from any church, from any Christian body, the first most important statement. But then Catholics have to adhere to it. They have to be taught. They have to understand.
Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit more then about how you see this moment, what happened over the weekend in the context, as you were saying, of the larger cultural and political moment we all find ourselves in vis-a-vis this presidential election. Because honestly, I couldn't help but to make that same connection, you know, when I heard about what happened.
Yes. So I've written a book about Nazi Germany, and my colleagues in the field of German history have been debating the extent to which there are parallels between Donald Trump's campaign and Hitler's campaign in the 20s and early 30s. And we generally agree that there are some disturbing parallels, but the extent we debate, the extent of those parallels, I have to say that it's very important for us to realize, first of all, certain horrific links that can take place. That is, antisemitism is not necessarily something that's stated in a straightforward way. And the same is true of racism. Sometimes ideas are insinuated very subtly. We have to keep in mind, though, that human beings aren't always simply 100% rational. We have imaginations. We engage in magical thinking. So when Donald Trump says, oh, in the olden days, they would carry someone like that out on a stretcher, he doesn't have to be explicit. It enters the imagination, and it is suggestive, and it leads to new fantasies and ideas. And then those fantasies often lead to physical violence. The same thing is true if you look at certain the history of antisemitism. Sometimes an idea is stated, and it takes a little while, and then comes the violence. It doesn't happen immediately. Let's also keep in mind that these things are linked. Racism, antisemitism. At the moment, Donald Trump is targeting Muslims. He's saying horrible things about Muslims, that Muslims hate us. That's a typical strategy in Nazi Germany. The Jews hate us, the Germans would say. Not that we hate the Jews. Well, of course, they did hate Jews, and that's why they would say it. But these mechanisms of projection are very disturbing. The atmosphere of threat, of intimidation, of fear, that's startling to me because it's so parallel to what I've read about the Nazi Party rallies that took place in the 1920s and early 30s, before Hitler came to power and certainly after. After Hitler came to power, things were much more direct, not subtle. But in the 20s, of course, this fear that would be engendered, and at the same time, the sense that Hitler was something new and powerful who would resolve problems. There were two articles recently in the New York Times, one that said that Trump is doing well in white-only neighborhoods, and the other said that the volunteers for Trump are a mixed group of all kinds of different people and different races. So that's interesting to see. But what is common is exactly what happened in the early 1930s, and that is the drop from the middle class to the working class. When you lose your middle-class white-collar job and now either you're unemployed or you have a blue-collar factory job, it's a loss of status. It's a loss of self-esteem. That's what happened. Those are the people who voted for Hitler, and these are the people who were supporting Trump. That's what worries me.
Well, so let me ask you, I mean, is it fair to say that we have seen examples in the past where even if a charismatic leader isn't saying certain things directly, that the tone of what he's saying basically allows or provides a justification for previous bigotries and behaviors that were considered unacceptable now just become more acceptable, even if it's not directly said?
Absolutely. But you know, there is a tone of vulgarity that should be anathema to every American because it is degrading to us. We who want to defend America, we want to have America be a great country, which it is. Why would we want to self-destruct in this way, present ourselves to the world with such vulgarity, with such hostility and rage? And the way that Trump is turning us against one another, is this what we want? Is this what we stand for? What are we defending then? And whom are we defending? Mm. So, yes, the Pandora's box has been opened by Trump for a rhetoric that is terrifying to me. And I'm afraid it will take forever to get over it. And I would have to say, on the other hand, imagine if it were the opposite. Imagine if we had people speaking with great dignity, even people who disagree politically. What would that do to us? What a wonderful aura that would shed over this country.
I'm just curious, what do you think is the best course of action to take right now vis-a-vis what happened over the weekend? Because, you know, we're seeing assemblies, as we talked about. There's been a response as well from the Boston Archdiocese. They say that in observance of the 50th anniversary of the church's landmark document that overturned the church's history of anti-Jewish attitudes, Cardinal Sean O'Malley stands in solidarity with members of the Jewish community in affirming Jewish and Catholic in affirming the Jewish and Catholic community's shared heritage of faith. But is there more that can be done, that hasn't been done in the past, that we should be trying now?
I know that Cardinal O'Malley certainly cares about this and is very well aware of Nostra Aetate and its significance. So I would imagine that Cardinal O'Malley will ask all the priests in Boston to give some extra attention to their congregants, to the parishioners, teach them what Nostra Aetate stands for, what the church stands for. And I would hope that the parents would be invited to the school also to discuss this with priests and with teachers. So I hope that's done. I also think that we as a society have to ask ourselves, what have we done collectively in this country to produce this kind of vulgarity that we're seeing today?
Well, Susanna Heschel is professor of Jewish studies at Dartmouth College and author of The Aryan Jesus, Christian Theologians and the Bible in Nazi Germany. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
We'll be back in a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.